Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown in a wild top in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get what I deserve, cause I'm chilling in the background, knowing that I'm gonna give it everything I got.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another season of the podcast, Theanos, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbooks, the king of... I'm just kidding. I'm assuming you see those commercials everywhere.
You got me, Hall. Honestly, I was like, oh, this is something new.
Yeah, so as a now resident of the state of Indiana, we had those commercials nonstop for 3 or 4 months until the new shiny thing came on the market, the state of Michigan. And now all of a sudden, we're chopped liver. Not sure how I feel about that.
You mean they shifted like their advertising dollars to the Wolverine state to try to get some of that more or what?
It is almost like that. I mean, we still have our fair amount of commercials, but it's nothing like when I first moved here.
Interesting. Yeah, we're getting our share of them. So on Groundhog's Day, I watched the movie Groundhog's Day because I hadn't seen it in a lot of years. And it was streaming on Pluto, something called Pluto TV, I believe it was. Or AMC.
That sounds more like a real thing.
Yeah. And you could not get it or buy it without the advertisements. So they showed advertisements every, 5 or 6 minutes or however long it goes in the movie. And every single cluster of 4 advertisements were for a sports book. The one with Allen Iverson.
I don't know that I've seen that one. Interesting.
Well, you'd think I'd know the name of the sports book. They obviously didn't do a very good job. It's the one with Allen Iverson being chubby and stepping over somebody.
All right.
But yeah, sports books all the time.
What's your go-to?
You know, I'm not a big fan of the gambling because I'm dumb.
To be fair, in my experience with gambling, it doesn't help any more to be smart. So I think it's just kind of a crapshoot.
People who've ever listened to this podcast would say, yeah, Eric, that's a wise decision not to touch the gambling.
So anyway, for all first-time listeners, my name's Jordan Hall. That is Eric Wayne.
Hi.
How has your off-season been? It's been since, I feel like over the course of the winter we might have done a show, but prior to that, the last week of the regular season, the world has changed a little bit in a lot of ways. It's very much the same.
I feel like we're in a more hopeful world.
Yeah.
The vaccine stuff and just the people's attitude has generally gotten sunshinier along with the weather. Do you feel that way too?
Definitely. And I don't know what it's like up there in Michigan, but down here in South Bend over the last week or so, spring has hit. And I don't know if you saw this tweet. There was a tweet going around that said something about, you know, I didn't think seasonal depression was a real thing until it hit 45 degrees and sunny. And I feel like I popped a Molly, which,
yes.
Yeah, definitely.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You take up any hobbies over the off season? All this time on your hands?
Just drinking.
Drinking that's heavily.
It's become a hobby. No, nothing. You know, just pining for the Tigers' return. Wait, sitting by the door, waiting for them to come back.
It sounds so sad. You need a dog or something.
I'm a sad puppy. Yeah, it is. It's like a puppy waiting for his owner to get back.
And your owner is Daniel Norris.
Brand. I'm sorry, what?
I said, and your owner is Daniel Norris.
That's right.
My wife and I, Whitney, we took an art class over the off season, which.
Are you good at art now?
So what we did was you get these cups of paint, you flip them over onto the canvas, and then you like shake the canvas so that the paint covers all of the area, which is brilliant because it doesn't take any sort of artistic ability, which is convenient because I don't have one.
This is one of those deals where you just slap some paint on and say like, oh, this is $1,000, please.
I mean, I don't plan on charging $1,000 unless someone out there is willing to pay. Then by all means, yes, we'll charge $1,000. But yeah, give or take.
For like a that. Jordan Hall original, yeah. Original.
There's only two of them out there in the world, and they're both mostly blue. Did you get into the NFT phenomenon? I feel like this is something that has you written all over it.
We exchanged some text about this. I find it fascinating. But I relied on you for your expertise. I understand you're a dabbler.
I'm a ever so slight dabbler. So NBA Top Shot. So it's not a very healthy situation at work. I work with one of my best friends.
You should explain to people what an NFT is.
So it's a non-fungible token, which means it's not a real thing, but you can collect them, and to a certain group of people, they have value. Does that pretty well sum it up?
Yes.
The one that I've been into is NBA Top Shot, which is you collect digital sports cards or digital basketball cards, I guess, specifically of NBA players. And it's just a highlight. Yes, you can find the highlight on YouTube or on Twitter, but you
but
own
this one belongs to you.
You
because
one
it's
of 35,000 or whatever of them. So my boss, who is also one of my best friends, we basically sit around in the office all day spurring each other on to look at these or sports cards. It has been very, very unhealthy. But yeah, got into it a little bit.
You know, I've just been spending all my time buying GameStop and Dogecoins. You know, I have time for that. So speculation.
I guess that's how we're going to pay the Spotify bills here in the next 10 years. Me with Top Shot and you with Dogecoin. So while the offseason may have been productive for you and I, you with your investing in me with my NFTs, it wasn't for everybody. I saw this story and immediately thought of you, Eric. On March 9th, on a flight from Seattle to Denver, a Colorado man got himself in a bit of trouble by first not wearing his mask, then getting into a bit of a tiff with the flight attendants, and finally urinating on his seat. Has anything ever made you so mad that you considered using your pee as a weapon?
I'm not that angry of a person, but I suppose if your weapons are limited, I mean, urine, it's always, that weaponry is always attached and ready to rock and roll. It's loaded. You know, when your options are limited, shoot the guns you have.
Where do you think that ranks on the flight attendants list of grossest things they've seen on a plane? I bet it's not at the top of the list.
Yeah. I can only imagine the shenanigans they encounter. I don't want to know, especially these overnight flights and stuff like that. Wouldn't that be a miserable existence to have to shepherd this group of humanity across the ocean? Got to be disturbing.
Yeah, I think that would be a terrible existence. So if convicted, he could spend up to 20 years in jail and pay a $250,000 fine. Feels a bit steep for peeing on a seat, no?
How much is that per ounce of urine?
I don't have those.
Who's running the statistics on this? Some urine metrics.
What punishment would you rather be stuck with? The 20 years in jail or the $250,000 fine?
Oh, the quarter million, of course.
You probably pay that off with some of your Dogecoin.
Yeah, I'll just get some more Top Shots. It'll be fine.
Just for the record, if anyone out there wants to gift me any Top Shot moments, I am willing to receive that. Anyway, that brings us
what
to...
What is like a SPHE three-pointer, like $5 or something like this, or what?
Yeah, give or take. Although SPHE is a
Reggie
former...
Reggie Jackson having
piston.
A ball stolen from him.
Another former what? Piston.
Yeah, I mean, that's all I know.
We'll get Johnny Kane on the show next week to tell us who the Pistons actually are now. So it brings us to this week's leadoff question. If you had the chance to sit next to anyone on the Tigers realm for a plane trip, who would you pick?
So I want somebody vaccinated. So it's probably somebody old. And I want somebody who's encountered a lot of people that I and favorite moments
obviously
that I have.
Where this is going.
So the answer is Gene Lamont.
Oh, interesting. That was not where I thought that was going.
Actually, maybe Jim Leland, somebody like that. Somebody, you know, the reason I pick a coach instead of a player, because they have a little bit more of a duration in a front row. I can get lots of stories and stuff. So, you know, okay, Brad Thomas, I sit next to him. He's going to know like three guys.
That is true. I thought you were going to say Lynn. I feel like Lynn is the obvious choice, but of the characteristics you listed, I don't know that he would make a good choice for the situation. But based on your description, I thought that's where you were going.
Lynn would be great because you could say, hi, how about those Tigers? And then you wouldn't have to contribute much to the conversation for the rest of the flight.
Are you a guy that talks to the people next to you on a flight?
No. I feel like it's bad manners to try.
Completely agreed.
Like if it's somebody who clearly, you know, has some social skills and just wants to banter a little bit, I'll engage with that, but I'll have no expectation that we're going to be chit-chatting for an hour. And even if it's somebody who's a good social chatter, I don't think I want that.
Yeah, completely agreed. On the way down to Florida, we were just down at spring training, and this guy named Randy comes and sits next to me. Randy. So he was literally the last person on the plane. So I was like, oh my gosh, we're going to have a seat between us. It's going to be great. Sure enough, Randy shows up. They're clearly waiting on this man, and he's had a beverage or two. We'll just put it that way. So I catch the story. He hopped the train from Michigan City into the South Bend Airport, which apparently is a connection that you can make. And he tried to park at the first Michigan City station, wasn't there in time, so he decided to get out of his vehicle and run, not drive, run to the other Michigan City station to try and catch the train, which apparently he did. And then he told me the same thing several times about wanting to come down to fish with his buddy off the coast of, I don't know, one of the islands in Florida. So I'm going to assume that Randy probably didn't catch much in the way of a fish, but he was not the ideal seat companion either.
Yeah. So who are you picking?
So my first thought was
not Randy. Who?
My first thought was somebody that would bring snacks, obviously. And my mind immediately went to Blaine and Nikki Hardy. They have a young baby. Clearly they're going to have snacks on them. And also I wanted to mention the fact that our boy just got back into action for the Brewers this past week. So shout out to Blaine. Will always
Brewers?
Be Brewers.
He was with the Twins, right?
I don't think he ever actually played because he had Tommy John or something similar.
Got it.
So anyway, they were.
What's his chance? Have you been keeping up with him? What's his chance of making the team?
That is a little beyond my scope of knowledge of the situation.
Okay.
But I wanted to take this in a different direction, but really it's hard to get away from Dan Dickerson. Dan is the absolute goat. It would be incredible to, you know, 2.5-3 hours next to Dan. I would pepper him with questions. All of the stories that I tell about Randy, he probably would tell about me, but you know, that's the breaks. Sometimes you sit next to a nerd like me.
Dan, every time we talk about Dan, I just love Dan. So I better not anymore.
Dan,
but I love you, Dan.
Dan is the best. If you want to get for in sure. touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at Hosted by Jay Hall. That is a change since last season. I don't know if we discussed this, but I wanted to have the same thing on Twitter and Instagram. So I'm now hosted by Jay Hall on both. That's where you can obviously find my zoo pictures.
It's snappy and modern.
Thanks. Good job. Appreciate that. Eric is at Eric Wayne's Brain on both. Did you plan that to have it both?
Yeah, I'm a thinker. I'm
and
smart.
We are at Podcastianos on both facebook.com/podcastianos. And we would love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you listen to the show on. That is how we pay the bills. It is actually not, but it is helpful. And if you leave a review, take a screenshot of it, tweet it at us, make it funny, and maybe we'll read it out on next week's show. To show our appreciation. And of course, this episode is presented by Martin's Supermarkets. Martin's, count on us. You can learn more at martins-supermarkets.com or on social media at Martin's Markets.
So I told you this via Twitter, but I had a couple of solicitations to promote
Let's talk about this. I forgot about this.
So we joke about this, but we're basically getting a little bit of money to do the hosting of the podcast, essentially just paying for the electricity and wires that bring it to your ears. I had a company that specialized in male private part hair removal. Asking about that. I'm not going to ask you any questions about your man hairs. And then there was a real estate company and a betting thing.
I thought it was really funny. Our boy Jacob, he asked us, so why was Andy Dirks all up in your DMs? Which that made me actually laugh out
loud.
He's
a real estate guy now.
Yeah.
But thanks for listening to the show. We're going to try to make it as easy and friendly for you because we're givers.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the podcast, Giannos.
So baseball is back, and with it, the eternal optimism of spring. I feel like you've been a little down every time I've texted you about this or that or this or that. Or, oh, man, I'm like, this signing's good. And you're like, nah, this signing sucks. Are you not feeling down this optimism?
I'm a realist. Okay, we've been among the worst teams in baseball for, 4 years now?
Literally as long as I can remember at this point.
We are bad. And I don't see how we get significantly better this year. I mean, we're going to get incrementally better, but not exponentially better. The team that we had to start last year with, Crone and Scope, Maben, you know, all those guys, was probably just as good, and we still stink.
There is a big, big difference between this year's team and last year's team, and I think you know it.
Why?
It's Who? Being run by a competent group of individuals. Being run by Chris Fetter. He's going to turn all of these pitchers into studs. You heard it here first.
Was he not a University of Michigan guy? He has no big league experience at all, does he?
I don't think it matters. I think it's all mechanics. I think that that is what some of these guys, you're telling me that Matt Boyd needs a psychologist now? He needs someone to fix those freaking mechanics. I genuinely feel that way about him and Fulmer.
Casey Mize,
like all of these guys are, I don't really, maybe Norris is not a great exception, although Norris is starting to pitch well. But these guys, it's all physical. It's not mental with these guys. And I think that, you know, admittedly, I'm putting a lot of stock in Chris Fetter being.
Okay. How about Hinch? Are you a Hinch believer?
Yeah, I'll take Hinch. I mean, I don't think he's worth the amount of wins that I think Fetter is worth. But still, compare him to Gardenhire.
Boy, you are all in on Fetter, huh?
Dude is a genius. I am 100% in. Dude is a genius.
What evidence do you have for that? Like, what are you citing? Just the strong performance of the University of Michigan team?
Yeah, especially considering you got Carl Kaufman, the Criswell, the Tommy Henry. All these guys were kind of recruits that he turned into second, third round picks. Like, it's not exactly like Michigan is this pitching juggernaut.
Yeah, they're a northern team, right? They don't get the big guys.
And maybe, you know, admittedly, I'm a Michigan fan. Maybe I'm a little too close to this, but I really think that there's something there. We were down in Lakeland. I have to admit, I took probably as many photos of Chris Fetter as I did of any of the players. It might be becoming a problem.
It's a little bit of a man crush you have here.
I will fully admit to that, and we'll get into my other one here shortly, I'm sure. Okay. So have you been able to watch them on the television, or have the TV carrier of your choice removed them like they have with me?
Yeah, it's a little tricky because it's hit or miss with what you get. But if they're on TV, I try to catch it. I've listened to I spent $20 to get the streaming audio. And being Dutch, it was painful for me because I can tune into my AM radio station and the box will make, you know, sparks through the transistors and I'll be able to hear the Dan Dickerson. But I spent the long dollar to listen to it. So I have the nice crystal clear. So I'm really up to speed on what's going on. One of the fascinating things, speaking of kind of new guys and roster composition, is one of the clips from a telecast was one of a rival broadcaster saying that Robbie Grossman is the first multi-year signing we've had in the last 4 years.
Justin Upton was the last one, correct?
Is that right?
I'm almost positive. Also, who are you describing as our rivals? I feel like everyone out there, that whoever this is, should feel slighted.
Whoever's not us. I think it was like the Mets or something like that. I mean,
Play the Mets? I thought you meant it was like Fox Sports Detroit or something. Like, I don't think they would consider us their rivals.
No. The opposition broadcast.
That makes no sense.
Maybe I think it was the Yankees or whatever.
Definitely not rivals there. A couple years maybe, but not right now. So I'm assuming you didn't sneak down there for any games, did you?
No, I wish. I understand you did, though. Tell me about the happenings.
Saw one game down there. It was the Spencer Turnbull game against the Blue Jays. Got to see Vladdy Jr. And young Bo Bichette. Also, there was rumor on the street that Vladdy Jr. dropped 40 pounds. I don't know, dog. About that one. He's still a thick boy.
Husky.
Yeah. But it was like, it's hard to describe the feeling of, like, you know, walking on the third base line where it really opens up and you just walk out and see the field. Like, I mean, it's been so long. It was.
Did you have to pay a fortune for tickets?
No, but I was on the ball. Like, when they opened up, I was on it. I knew that date we were going to be down there. I didn't know, like, before or after. So that was the only one I could grab. But I was
so you just paid retail or whatever.
Yeah.
What is it? 25% at Joker?
Yeah, give or take. I mean, it was sparse. I mean, we can get into that a little bit. Like, so we went to a game at the Twins, and they actually had the seats that you couldn't sit in, like literally zip tied shut. Yeah. At Joker Marchant, it was a little bit more discretion. I don't think they were doing that, but like, it's not the worst thing in the world to have a little bit of elbow room, and it was actually kind of refreshing. Like, I don't love that. I'm sure there were people who were either priced out of it or couldn't find tickets to the game, but like, made the actual viewing experience not the worst thing.
So attendance is going to be a big thing, and ballpark policies coming up. I don't know where you are at on this, but I've been kind of a moderate to cautious attitude type. However, with sports and ballparks, it's outside, which has the science has shown to be largely safe. Now, you don't want people crammed into a bathroom. You don't want people crammed into the gift store. And in those environments, you definitely want masking and some precautions. But to me, they're talking about Comerica Park for opening day having 1,000 people. 1,000 people in Comerica Park is nothing.
Insane.
That's like nobody there. I think it looked like they issued a press release today saying that these things are being negotiated. And I think that capacity limit is going to be increased. And I think that's wise. Now, I don't think you want 44 or 45,000 people there on opening day, elbow to elbow. I don't think that's necessarily wise either. That's what the Texas Rangers are going to be doing.
Things are a little different down in Texas.
Yeah.
Upstairs, speaking of.
Yeah, but for sure.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think, like, if you want to do that, you know, inside with the Pistons or the Red Wings, like, I get that a little bit. But, like, capacity at Comerica is, you know, according to the official capacity is 40,120.
Right.
You're going to fill, what is that, 4% of the stadium?
Yeah.
Like, especially when most other stadiums are actually doing more. Like, do we know something they don't?
And, you know, go to 10 or 12 or even 50, something in there, about a quarter, you know, somewhere in that range. And you look on a mid-April game, what 15,000 fans looks like, especially if you were to spread them out at Comerica, you'd have to yell to the person next to you. I mean, that's going to feel, I think, pretty safe.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we can't depend on other people's willingness to comply or their intelligence in general. But just like with a lot of stuff through this, if we actually work together, hopefully we can get to where we want in the ballpark sooner rather than later. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just think it's going to be a good summer. It is going to feel good. I think there'll be times where you can just put any controversy aside, be in the park and enjoy the game again. And that is going to warm the subcockles of my heart. It's going to warm me up. It's going to be so good.
Yeah. I feel like even looking forward to a full season is different than last year. Like,
yeah. Good point.
I don't know. Like, it was better
there's
than no baseball.
About a full season.
But
yeah.
like, I don't know. People always want to shorten the baseball season. Like, there's 162 games. It lasts forever. I get excited about that.
I just love the routine of having a game on every day. Oh, you pick up on what's going on. It's just the rhythms of summer life a little bit feels good.
Yeah. And just rhythms of regular life. I feel like that is so enticing. Absolutely. So a lot of new faces. I got two new catchers. The Wilson Ramos signing, I am a huge fan of. The other one is Dustin Garneau, who I'm pretty sure is just camp filler. But, you know, whatever. Scope is back at second. We got H.J. Hinch favorite Greg Garcia, who is, I believe, leading the team in spring training at-bats. And Renato Nunez on the infield.
I swear Greg Garcia gets one of every two at-bats for the Tigers. He's always out there.
I think that's how it works. Pete Cosma is like, man, Greg, give me some of those at-bats back.
Pete Cosma. Yeah. So, right, Garneau is a free agent. Nomar Mazara.
Nomar Mazara
is a free agent. Your boy, Robbie Grossman. So, you were kind of hype about Robbie Grossman.
I am extremely hype about Robbie Grossman. On a different podcast that I do, I got carried away and said that I thought Robbie Grossman could be in the top 10 MVP consideration. I got caught up in the moment there. I don't actually believe that, but
he has never surpassed 1.7 WAR.
How many what is his max plate appearances? That is what I want to know.
He might play 158 games.
If he plays 100, I mean, he probably won't play against left-handed pitching, which is fine. If he plays 140 games, I think he is a 4 WAR player. I think he is that good. He has never gotten the time.
He's never accomplished half of that. And he's gotten a lot of plate appearances for the A's.
He hasn't gotten that many, though. He's been in the short end of platoons for the majority of his career, despite somehow, you know, being a left-handed hitter. The Tigers have no options. He is going to hit 1, 2, 3, 5 basically every day all season. I think there's something with this dude. I am all in. I hope that I'm not, as you would so eloquently put, Verhagening him. But I'm there. I'm in on Robbie. That's my dude. And let's get to your boy, Akil Badu. I was telling Whitney this today.
Akil Badu.
As soon as I saw that we had taken him in the Rule 5, I'm like, oh, I bet Eric's in on this dude. I checked your Twitter feed. Of course. You were already in on it.
Oh,
dude has been stealing the show.
Badu is more than a to-do. He is so exciting. Now, I want to pump the brakes a little bit. He has not played over A-level baseball, which is part of the reason why we've been able to obtain his rights.
Very true.
Lynn Henning, who we've mentioned already, was very eager to offload Victor Reyes, Jacoby Jones, or both in order to make room for Mr. Badu. Now, I think at this point, it's becoming increasingly obvious to me that we are not sending him back to the Minnesota Twins. Now, that does not preclude we could make a reasonable trade for him, but it's kind of tricky for the Tigers because with every hit, walk, and home run, he's getting more expensive if you're not prepared to stash him on the roster. But he is skilled and toolsy enough where you might just keep him as a fifth outfielder. Now, here's a little bit of the breakdown on this. If you keep Badu, he becomes your fifth outfielder. That simply means that you have Grossman, Reyes, Jones. And yes, I'm keeping Reyes and Jones. Don't be silly.
Yeah.
And Nomar Mazara. And he becomes your fifth outfielder. Then you cannot have Hill, Cameron, the young guys, and Green, the three young guys, which is fine.
Which we're never going to make it anyway.
And you're not having Kristen Stewart, which is he has been horrible. Sorry, Kristen. The real hitch becomes when you look at the combination of position players. That means you are limited to six infielders, and you don't those five outfielders can only play the outfield. You know, you don't have a lot of flexibility.
Can I pause you right there, though?
You may.
There was a point in time that was just standard operating procedure. Right. There was a point in time when all infielders didn't also play outfield and all outfielders right. didn't also play infield. We yeah, don't need six super utility guys in the lineup. We had that because we sucked and that's all we had available. There's no team that thinks, yeah, Harold Castro, that guy we can't lose because he can play four positions.
Well, maybe because we were bad. And also there's just more mixing and matching
for
managers
sure, definitely.
Feel they have to do instead of. Okay, but so infielders, we have Cabrera, who I think will make the team.
Probably, yep.
Scope.
Definitely.
Candelario.
Yep.
Willie Castro.
My boy.
Yep. Nico.
And Nico. That leaves one
and
spot.
And then you have one spot left for either your boy Greg Garcia.
That's not going to be my vote.
Harold Castro. Probably not.
Definitely not my vote
Zach
either.
Zach Short. Probably not.
Speaking but of, before we move on, can I now live in yes. South Bend. He apparently was with the South Bend Cubs for the part of like yeah. eight different seasons. He is a South Bend Cubs legend. And
wow.
I was very surprised when I saw he was on the major league roster for spring training. And myself and my boss, who has been going to the South Bend Cubs for a number of years, we've had a good amount of chuckles based on how many at bats Zach Short has gotten this off or this spring training.
He has very skinny calves and a lot of Don Kelly energy.
He does, definitely.
Yeah.
Is he going to be our favorite player in 10 years?
Could be. Among the Cleet Thomas, Don Kelly fans, Zach might be popular. You know what I mean?
It's not a small group.
Not a small group.
Bigger than it should be.
Cougars and bear attack victims are going to love this guy.
All right. Continue Sorry. With your serious point. Okay. I apologize for getting us off track.
So now you have to pick. You either get Isak Paredes, who is now, what, 21?
Something like that.
21. Or you get Renato Nunez, who we signed on a minor league deal. But in 2019, dude hit 30 home runs. He does not have much of a glove, but you put him at, he's going to play some first base for you.
He'll DH sometimes. We don't have a locked in DH.
Yep.
I mean, but
what's fascinating to me is he's really under team control until 2024. I thought I saw this was right. Like he's easier to, I think you could send either of these guys down. But in contrast to Bedu, you won't lose either of these guys.
Correct. Yeah.
What kind of sucks is the AAA season doesn't start until a month after the big
Yeah, because they
starts.
Have to clear so out the anywhere. Clear out big league camp before minor leaguers can have their camp down in Tiger Town.
Is that the rationale for it? That makes sense.
And at all of the facilities, not just in Detroit.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So here's my take. I keep Bedu. I want Isak Paredes. I think he's good. And Nunez, yeah, I'd love to have that kind of punch in the lineup. But let's be real, and we'll talk about this maybe if we talk pitchers a little bit more. These things are never laid in stone like you think they are. There's always somebody who's dinged, or they play a game with when they start, or there's always some shenanigans that kind of help this. Become to clarify.
Yeah, and I want to.
It always seems that way.
I want to plead a little ignorance on Nunez. I don't know if he has some sort of like opt out if he's not going to make the big league roster. He very well may. As somebody who hit 30 home runs 2 years, like he really kind of should. I would probably like
last year he hit like 12 or something like that in 60 games.
He's kind 15? Like I feel like we've reached a point in time in baseball where if you do something really well, there's a place for you. You don't have to do everything really well. He does one thing very well, and I'm cool, you know, taking a chance on it. I kind of
Kristen Stewart, you have to do one thing well.
That is a good thing to point out to our boy. But I'm kind of to the point where I think that Paredes needs to play every single day because I think he is – I mean, I was going to say he's one of the four best infielders. He might be one of the four best hitters total we have.
Yeah.
Like that bat needs to be in the lineup.
He's coming off play in Dominican, I believe, Dominican or Mexico, and he doesn't need training. He doesn't need warming up. The dude's been raking all over
Central
America.
Yep.
Yeah. He's ready to go. he doesn't need more minor league at-bats. You know, yeah, he scuffled for parts of last season for long stretches, but the dude's been grinding away. He's basically not put on a bat, you know, since the start of the beginning of last season. He's ready to roll. Just roll him out there.
Yeah, definitely. And this kind of is where the knock is on Akil Baddoo, is somehow we ended up with more position players than we have room for that are worth keeping. Right. And that's the only reason that there's even question. I feel like there's been a lot of talk on Twitter, like, you know, Baddoo is making the decision hard on the Tigers. The decision is not hard. Like, I don't know that we've seen enough to say that he's a definite, like, yes, but we've definitely seen enough to say that he's not a no. Like, he is for sure somebody that we need to keep around.
You want to keep.
Absolutely.
So this is going to go to a theme that we might touch on with the pitchers. And that is, we have a lot of quantity. Like, there's some roster choices or whatever, but it's shallow quantity. We have no studs, like absolute studs. Now, you might advocate for your boy Grossman, but that's why I'm pumping the brakes on this season or whatever. Do we don't have any even 3 or 4 WAR players, do we? I mean,
I think Jamer could be there over the course of a full Jamer season. Could. I was going to say Willie.
He's our best player.
Definitely. I think Willie could get there if his defense reaches acceptability. Full season, I could see Scope getting there. I don't know. I think there's more meat on the bones than you're seeing.
A lot would have to go right.
Definitely. And I for sure don't think that all of those guys will. I think that all of those guys could. Right. I mean, it's within the realm of possibilities that all of those guys do. I don't know. I feel like there's, I quoted Napoleon to you in the text. Quantity has a quality all its own. I feel like the highest, like if we're talking MLB The Show, the highest rating we have is not going to be real high, but our average team rating probably isn't going to be real low either. Like I think the depth there makes us more interesting than our top end lack of dudes, if that makes
sense. So this is Brad Pitt and Moneyball saying, we can't replace Jason Giambi. We have to recreate him in the aggregate.
Kind of, yeah. I've
watched that movie a couple times.
It's a good movie.
Yeah. But the same thing with pitchers. Okay. We have 9 potential starting pitchers. Are any of them particularly good?
You know, that's a really interesting question. Boyd.
Okay.
I kind of think.
Let me run them down.
Please. Please do.
Boyd.
We know what he is. He is
Spencer
what he is.
Turnbull, who might be the ace of the squad.
All right. I think if you're going based on who is the best pitcher right now, he gets the ball on opening day easily. Right. But anyway.
But it's going to be Boyd. But
of course.
Yeah. Jose Urania, who was. Not he's been up and down in spring training and wasn't particularly good with the Marlins.
He was always one of those guys that the stuff was far more tantalizing than the results. Maybe this is a Fetter reclamation project. We'll put it down to that.
I feel like this is the Matt Moore or the who's the other dingbat that we got
Tyson
for
Ross.
Penny Tyson Ross. Yeah, thank you. This is that one of those guys.
I don't think he's as good as Matt Moore was though. Just to get in front of that one. I'm not in on that.
So not good. Fulmer, who knows, but probably is going to, he's not going to pitch a ton of innings this year. No. Still.
Range of outcomes on Fulmer is pretty wide, but I feel like it slants very heavily towards.
It could go bad.
Yeah.
It could go bad. Tarek Skubal, who's got dynamite stuff.
You asked me if there's any studs. Skubal, I think, like I just said, the range of outcomes with Fulmer. I think within the range of outcomes for Skubal is 15 wins and a low 3 ERA this year. Like, you don't have to be old to be good in the big leagues. Look at what Brady Singer did last year. I mean, he is still finding his way. But
Brady Singer, though.
Brady Singer is a comparable prospect to Skubal. They were at the same
level.
But
we don't get lucky like that. Other teams
that
do.
Right there, that's the key factor. Couldn't agree more.
Casey Mize, who has had some command issues, which was not his thing in college. I think there's a little bit between the ears here.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I mentioned that Norris might be the only one. You're definitely right. Casey is like the command was so strong with him. It has to be, I don't know. It has to be something. And I got a feeling that when it fixes, it's going to fix in a hurry and we might see him back to being what we associate Casey Mize to be. Yep. But then again, it may never fix.
Julio Tehran.
Sure.
He's going to see a lot of innings for us this year, I think.
And honestly, okay, so you take 2020 out, which I feel like we all should do for all of our stat lines. He had a 10.05 ERA last year. Before that, 3.81, 3.94. XFIP.
He's the Nomar Mazara of starting pitchers.
Yes. I mean,
which is to say mediocre with a lousy year last year.
And I'm not 100% sure that he is the 2019 and before version and not just the 2020 version now, but it's at least worth a shot when there's that kind of track record. And I completely agree, you know, copy paste onto Nomar Mazara.
Matt Manning, I do not think he's going to see a lot of innings for the Tigers, especially first half.
I'm good with that.
Bo Burrows has not been.
I feel like we can be
so we have a couple other guys kicking around, but that's kind of the starters.
I feel like Alexander could factor into that mix. I mean, he'll be more of your long guy. He started a couple games last year.
Erasmo Ramirez.
The other one is Derek Holland, though I imagine he has to.
He's not a starter.
He's got to specifically be in the pen, yeah. Although I'd prefer him not be anywhere near the team, if given total preferences. But
which I feel like we're making up for quality with quantity again. Like, well, we're going to need some help. Better get another guy.
Do you feel better about that? Giving these pieces to a potentially more creative manager like Hinch than you would have with Gartenhire? Like, do you buy into that at all?
Maybe a little bit. But, you know, they're on the broadcast, you know, saying, oh, AJ Hinch is doing this way, and he's showing them the film of this and that. I'm like, okay, did Gartenhire not do any of this stuff like they're talking about? Maybe not, but it's kind of like this new coaching staff is doing these things. And I'm like, well, they were coached last year, at least a little bit. Like,
yeah, I wasn't even necessarily thinking about that. More just, you know, you're thinking outside of the box in terms of usage, not necessarily your 3-3-3 model, but using Boyd for, not Boyd's a bad example because he gives up home runs in every inning, not just late in the game. But using Fulmer for two innings and then coming back with somebody like Alexander and then hitting him with, I don't know. Like, I feel like there are pieces.
Yeah, we haven't
there.
Talked about Norris in this mix. I mean, he's a weapon. Norris, how do you deploy him?
Norris has probably been the best pitcher in the spring so far.
Yeah, Norris is good. And so, yeah, it's going to take a little bit of creativity and mixing and matching.
And I, as a fan, I feel like there is the potential for that to go well. I've been watching the Tigers for this many years now, in me makes me think it probably isn't going to go super well. But there are pieces there, too. I feel like the one guy we haven't mentioned that I want to, and I know you're going to be pissed that I bring him up because it will surely jinx him. Alex Lang has been fire this spring training. Watched him throw when I was there. Dude's humming 96, 97 with life. I think that's a name for that bullpen. I'm all in.
Yeah, he was the return for Nick Castellanos, right?
Yeah, yes. I feel like there was a lot of minor trades in a short period of time. They all
he was the return. He was the main return for Nick Castellanos.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, take it.
The other hard thrower that's kind of that's been around is Jason Foley.
Mm-hmm. He was with your boys, the Whitecaps, for like forever, right?
Yep. He throws really hard, and then I think had Tommy John or so. He had some work done, but now he's back.
Makes it sound like he was getting plastic surgery.
Maybe he was. You know, put a new
no judgment. New face do what you want, yeah. Jason. It's cool.
Yep. Okay, so in my pen, I have closer Brian Garcia.
I mean, that's kind of how it left off last year.
I have setup man Gregory Soto. I have a seventh inning guy slash come in a pinch guy, Buck Farmer.
Farmer and Cisnero, kind of flipping back and forth there.
I have Cisnero. I have still our boy, Joe Jimenez. Mm-hmm. Tyler Alexander and Derek Norris.
Wrong now, Norris, but yes, that is what I have as well.
Not or Derek Holland. I'm sorry.
Daniel Norris.
Daniel Norris and Derek Holland.
You have both of them?
Yes. Unless you need, because you what, have eight relievers. I just said eight. You could take out Derek Holland and put somebody like Tehran.
Yeah, that's what I have on my staff.
That's probably smarter. So not Derek Holland.
Which is good.
But then you everybody. Do not get your boy Lang. You do not get Funkhauser, who still needs to house his funk a little bit. Rony Garcia. I had forgotten about Ronnie Rony.
That's fine.
He had a decent year last year.
Did he, though?
I looked up his numbers. They were not bad.
Did he, though?
And
I have no
boy,
recollections of him being any good. Ipso facto, he was not. That's how that works.
But I thought I saw it. Yeah, he pitched for a whole year. I barely remember.
I think that tells you all you need to know.
Well, part of a year. And your boy, Ian Kroll.
Why is Ian Kroll my boy? And we're both lefties. That's the only similarity.
Actually, he mentioned me on Twitter because we had said something about, we can't just talk about our signing Ian Kroll all year. And then he wrote something like, what's wrong? He mentioned it, something like that. So this is like the Ian Kroll revenge tour. And he has the highest spin rate of any of the guys in spring training, first or second.
Right. He is. Maybe we should be in on Ian Kroll. Let's get in on that. It could be fun.
You know, I talk smack about Ian, about him being boring. To be fair, though, he spent last year in some
the nerd team.
It was a men's league team or something. Who was it?
The nerd herds. I'm surprised you were not all over that. I'm surprised I don't have a hat from that. Let's be honest.
So anyway, that's our bullpen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not Dombrowski bad, but yeah, it's not amazing.
Could use one awkward lefty. That's all I've got to say.
Yeah. Holland doesn't do it for me. I'm not a big Holland fan.
Well, we'll have a lot more time to get into the vagaries of end of roster.
We did a pretty faithful roster breakdown, though, didn't we?
Yeah.
I think we
both came away with 26 guys. I don't know what else you could possibly want.
There you go. Oh, we didn't decide on the backup catcher because nobody cares. It's going to be bad.
Yeah, definitely.
Did you see Griner get plunked?
I didn't see that. Right. I didn't see that one. I was there the
Racing
day that
Griner.
I mean, I was aware that it happened. I was there the day that Zach Short took one in the dome. Same dude hit both Zach Short and
yes.
that. And you
yes.
believe that? Calm yourself, Elvis. Good Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get him out of there.
Get him out of there.
All right. What else do we got, Hall?
Let's move to your power rankings.
Wow. It's time, huh?
We've rambled about the Tigers long enough. It's time to start talking about something else.
Something fun.
Hopefully.
So, I told you about my hobby, which has been
drinking heavily.
And, I learned about Randy.
That's right.
Your friend on the airplane. And you strike me as, kind of a coffee guy.
Definitely.
You're a big coffee guy. And you seem like carry a water bottle around guy.
Literally right here.
Yeah. Okay.
It's blue.
So I have for you, this is going someplace. I have for you. Vessels in which to drink beverages out of.
Ooh, this is a good one. I like this.
Okay. What are you going to drink your beverage? Any kind of beverage. Like, what are the most satisfying things to drink out of?
Who says power rankings got stale? This is hot stuff right here.
This is bringing the flames. Right, people? Right? Okay. Number seven, I have a styrofoam cup.
Woof. You're already off to a terrible...
It's seven.
It needs to be in the bottom three. This is disgusting.
Listen, a styrofoam cup keeps things warm. It does a good job of keeping coffee hot.
Yeah.
It's light. They're cheap. You don't need the sleeve, right? Now, every time I drink out of a styrofoam cup, though, I feel like Captain Planet and the Planeteers are somewhere frowning at me.
Definitely, for sure. That stuff lasts in the landfill for 96 years.
Yeah.
And also...
And when you have that on the table, it squeaks.
And that's a good thing?
No, it's bad.
I was going to say, that feels like that's a bad thing.
Right. That's plus, why it's seven. It's
plus,
it's
plus the
first
feeling
one.
On your lips. It's like, what's the...
Well, you have a lid on, typically.
I guess. This is unacceptable.
This is the classic, you know... gas station coffee vessel.
It's terrible, but I'll allow it. Let's move on.
Number six is like a solo cup, a disposable plastic cup. It gives you kind of nostalgia for frat parties. They're cheap. They're easy. You don't have to wash them unless you're like my grandma and, you know, would wash the solo cups. We use them again.
Also yeah. Dutch, I'm assuming.
Netherlands. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But it's fine. You know, did you know that in Europe, they don't do the solo cup thing? And it's kind of like this American icon of partying.
Really?
So a lot of Europeans will try, oh, yeah, we're going to have an American party, and they'll get red solo cups. Like,
interesting. I had no idea.
Yeah, for sure.
Learn something every day. Yeah. I have no idea if you're actually telling me the truth or not, but now I'm going to tell that to my friends.
I would only lie. Well, okay, I'd lie to you a lot. All right. Number five, a glass bottle. This would be like a beer bottle.
Oh, okay.
You know, yeah, a beer bottle. Or maybe you're drinking a Latin American soda.
Yeah. I feel like there's a lot of Mexican pressure with a glass bottle. Like, if you drop that, it's a problem.
Yeah, and they're kind of clunky and heavy, but it's satisfying to hold and drink out of.
I agree with that.
Like, you feel like you have something substantial with you. I like the glass bottle. They're very recyclable.
Yeah.
Number four is a paper cup with a lid. So this would be your fast food, your Starbucks with a coffee, right? Mm-hmm. Now, there's something satisfying about getting a fast food pop or soda for you other folks.
We're in Michigan. Screw everyone else outside the state. It's pop.
Yeah. Because I don't know. Maybe it's just fast food because you get salt. It's really super salty. You get that savory food, the French fries. And there's something very satisfying about drinking like McDonald's pop.
I agree with that.
It's just a whole vibe. Even Starbucks, it feels good.
It feels right in your hand for sure.
Throw it away when you're done. Or, it's fine. Number three is an aluminum can. Sometimes you just want to just drink out of the pop can or drink out of the beer can. You can put the little koozie on it. Yeah, you don't want to monkey around with anything else. You know, you're just shotgunning beers with the boys.
You're a koozie guy, aren't you?
What's that?
You're a koozie guy, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I got for Christmas a Yeti koozie. You have to screw the top off. And I have my Tampa Bay Buccaneers go-to can koozie. Got to go with koozie.
Big time for your boys.
Neoprene is a big development in the world of koozies.
Just reinventing the wheel.
Yeah. Number two is a glass, like a pint glass or a water glass. It's easy. They're easy to wash. You can use them forever. And you know what's clean or not? You can hold it up.
Because you look at it.
Yeah, it's a glass. Like, everybody's got glasses. It's good forever. It's smooth. It's rewarding to drink out of. Put your cocktails in it, whatever. Okay.
Yeah,
number one, you have a guess, the most satisfying thing to drink out of.
A guess. This is just for me personally. It has to be a coffee mug. There is nothing better. Yeah. Okay. I'll let you state the case then.
You're exactly right. It's a ceramic mug. There's something comforting about holding a warm ceramic mug. It's pleasurable to drink out of. You know, get your coffee, you can mix it. The little steam rises out of the top into the ether. It just warms your heart.
At this point, I don't know that I could start a day without that experience you just described. I'd probably die.
See, it's a weekend thing for me because it's a rewarding thing because in the weekend I get to have the ceramic mug coffee. Otherwise, I'm putting it in a travel mug.
Oh, so you don't brew your coffee at work? Come on, man.
What's that?
I say you don't brew your coffee at work?
I take it from home. I have responsibilities. I got to do stuff.
I do stuff at work too, and I still have time to brew myself several cups of coffee
a
day.
Not a sluggard like some Indiana kid. Come on. All right. The three worst vessels to drink out of, starting at third from the worst, is the squeeze plastic bottle. Like it's got the sports top on it and you peel the thing off and you somehow have to either suck it out of there like some kind of a limited Hoover. Or you're shooting it like a stream of urine from a man
onto a disgruntled airplane seat.
And here I am trying to aim this stream of liquid into my mouth. And inevitably, you look like, you know, Patrick Ewing, who's shooting this stuff all over. You can't get it in your mouth. It's all over you. It's fine if you're, you know, you're a bicyclist and you're pouring it. You're a triathlete shooting it all over yourself. But if I just want a nice drink, it stopped me with the sports shooter top, the Gatorade squeezer. This is only third from the worst. Okay, second from the worst is a wine glass. I like wine occasionally, but come on, people. Do we really need that stem? Does it really need to hang out in the air like that?
How will people know you're pretentious if you don't have that?
It makes it hard to wash. Yeah, you know, you're not supposed to hold the bowl of the wine glass. You're supposed to hold the stem or even the base.
Good to know.
You don't warm the...
People just drink it right out of the box here in Indiana. So that's all I've got to contend with.
Right out of the box. Yeah, wine glass, it's fine, I guess. But they're hard to wash.
Nonsense.
Number one, worst thing to drink out of.
All right. This is my guess. And I don't know if you went this deep, but a Capri Sun packet.
that is a good one. But that is not what I'm thinking of. I am thinking of these intricate mechanical sports flip top water bottles, like the Contigo or the whatever. Here you have to flip this thing open, which is fine, but if you ever want to wash one of these, you have to be like a drill camp basic training, like you're disassembling an M16 and trying to put this bag together. It's got 14 parts. You're sticking them in the dishwasher. You got to reassemble this thing. You can't clean it. It's got a rubber nozzle and a gasket and a flip. And it's like, stop it with the sports flip top bottle. It's the worst. Can you get ice in it? Maybe it's got a straw. Are you slurping or drinking? These things are a mess. I hate them. Those are the worst.
And what do you say now?
I just say, Eric.
That's Power Rankings.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
You're out of practice. You did not report in the best shape of your career.
Now hold up what you're drinking out of. Where's your water bottle?
It's like a blue. It has the screw on top you're talking about, but it just has a spout. That's all.
Yeah, thank you. I don't want the straw and the leverage thing on top.
Yeah, I'm not 12. I don't necessarily need a straw in my water bottle. On a cup, yeah, absolutely. Water bottle, nah, I'm good.
I hope you people enjoyed that. I don't know. But it was fine.
So it's been an interesting experience for me. This is my first winter running here in South Bend. It turns out that people aren't real great at clearing their sidewalks of snow. So that wasn't my favorite. But the real bummer is...
Do you wear the little tracks, the little spring metal grippers?
No, I don't have anything bougie like that. I just have running shoes. I just roll with it.
Just have wet feet.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a boot dryer that I'll put my shoes on when I get back. They're always ready to go the next day.
I put them on the boot dryer. those were two things back to back.
But anyway, while I was down in Florida, I missed the big thaw here, which is really unfortunate because when you see what was in the snowbanks when it all thaws, that's when you see the real weird stuff. So that was a bummer. But I did see what I assume is an obvious drug deal go down. It was on the side of the road, so clearly they weren't making too awfully much of a play to hide it. So tip of the cap for brazenness. And also, this isn't necessarily when I was running, but down when we were in Florida, we saw an albino squirrel. Apparently, you have a 1 in 100,000 chance of seeing said albino squirrel. It was really white, red eyes. Pretty much the usual thing.
You're a big zoo guy. Like, I imagine you had that memorized. You probably didn't even need to Google it.
Who does? All right, let's move on to Twitter questions. The people you asked, the people answered. Let's enlighten them.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
Robert Baker asks, looking at the rest of the division, what moves did the Tigers make to ensure they don't finish in last?
Dustin Garneau, obviously.
Justin Garneau.
I mean, the Mazzara one was a good thing. There wasn't really a need to spend the Wilson Ramos money, but they spent a little above and beyond there. They could have just rode with Rogers and Griner. I think that's something above
We needed Ramos. I mean, do you like his nickname, the Buffalo? I kind of like that.
I didn't know that, but I do very much like that.
Or would it be El Bufalo in Spanish?
I'm sure it's not that.
I think it is. No, it is a Bufalo. That's what the sauce is called. Bufalo sauce.
I'm in. That is what I will call him from, you know, here on. So
I only lie to you 3 or 4 times per episode. I have a cap. All right. Benjamin Clark says, I think Reyes would be solid. Oh, this is about who is a better center fielder. Who do you think is a better center fielder, Jacoby or Victor Reyes?
Off the top of my head, I would say Jacoby, just based on that everyone says that Jacoby is amazing outfielder. I mean, Reyes is fine. I don't know. They're similar.
I want to know what the nerds say. Like, if I had a statistics department, if I was Hinch, that's one of the tasks I would give the nerds. Say, hey, nerds, tell me who's a better center fielder. Adam Langworthy asks, which of the pitchers are you most excited about?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, it's got to be Scooble, right? I feel like if Mize were a shoe-in to make the roster, it would probably be him, just to see what he would do over the course of a full season. But I mean,
did you abandon your boy Lang so fast?
I don't think he's going to break camp with the team. I mean, I am excited to see him, but even if he reaches the peak of what I think he can be, he's just not just going to be a good reliever, but that kind of has limited excitement if we're being honest.
Are we underexcited about Brian Garcia?
I think we're the right amount of excited.
All right.
Maybe I think Norris might be the answer there. I would love to see if he can keep where he's at for a full season, which obviously is a huge ask, both mentally and physically for him. But if he could do that, I would love to see what that season looks like. Because as you said so eloquently earlier, he could be a weapon.
There you go. He is. Jeremy Troya, who's the worst of the two Troyas?
There's right three, now. So I don't know where that ranks him.
We don't count Cooper Troya or whatever the third
one. You know what I love about the Troyas? A, very loyal listeners, and B, both big Man United guys. Some people just get it.
Why?
Some people don't, but some people do.
Jeremy asks, who do you think ends up being the closer / high leverage inning guy?
It's clearly going to start as Garcia. I could see that changing hands multiple times.
Good. Craig Soto. Am I allowed to call him Greg?
Sure.
We haven't met. I haven't asked him.
Call him Greggy.
I'm not going to resort. Either I got to stick with Gregory or Greg is okay, because I'm not going to go Greg to Gregory like we had to or asked to from Nick to Nicholas. That's a little.
All right. We'll go with Greg. I'm comfortable with that. I'm sure he is too.
All right. Jacob Skoronek asks, in previous seasons, we had the Rally Goose. Speaking of Nick, the Ducky Tank Top and the Zubaz. Which absurd object will be the Tigers' rallying point this season?
Oh, man. Even going back to like gum time, we actually have a pretty strong tradition of like random of goofy crap. Stuff. Yeah, I like it. I don't know. I mean, this is basically impossible to predict.
Remember we had like Carlos Guillen would do the back pockets out.
Yeah, I feel like that's, that? That I feel like that's a little more mainstream. I don't know. I hope
there
there's
like putting on your jacket. There's a lot of goofy kind of gimmicks.
Yeah. Baseball's the thing is it gives you a lot of downtime to come up with weird crap like that. And yeah. That's why baseball's so great.
Yeah. It's going to be something completely weird. Like we're going to have a rain delay and then we'll rally to win. And every time we're behind, we'll like put up our umbrellas or something, you know, just gesture like you're adding an umbrella and like, oh, that's going to be our thing. And everybody will, in the park will show up and it's sunny with umbrellas. That's my prediction.
I'm going to go with that.
Wouldn't
one
it be
too.
Funny if that happens?
That would be. At that point, you probably should have gotten in on DraftKings. Yeah.
Also, having an umbrella on a 90-degree sunny day is a boss move, especially if people are spread out and you're not worried about the person behind you not able to see. Bring that umbrella.
Makes you feel like a Southern Belle.
I declare, got my parasol. I shouldn't do voices on the podcast.
You should do more voices on the podcast.
I declare. Let's see. What else do we got? A lot of Tokar's rambling. He's upset that we didn't get a better outfielder. I'm scrolling through
Robbie Grossman.
Twitter.
What else could he possibly want?
Yeah, well, it's like, not Mazzara, evidently.
It's like he doesn't think Robbie Grossman's going to be in the top 10 MVP voting. Weird.
Let's see. A lot of these were power rankings. Da-da-da-da-da. I'm scrolling up fast. Best green foods to eat. I think this is a Dr. Seuss question. What's your go-to green food to eat?
I eat a lot of spinach.
Yeah.
So I'll probably go with that.
It's significantly better than other lettuces. Like iceberg lettuce, I don't want that.
That's
anymore.
Trash. Like it's literally a child lettuce. Water. Yeah, it's garbage. Yeah. It doesn't even have any nutritional value.
My favorite green food is mint chocolate chip ice cream.
I think that's the correct answer.
Yeah. This is another Akil Badu. We're not sending him back. I don't think, even if he kind of stubs his toe down the home stretch here of spring training.
Yeah. And the downside of who you're losing to keep him is so low that there's no risk whatsoever.
I think that's it. Not a lot of questions.
That's okay. That's okay.
I should ask them nicely. We'll run them on.
First right? show back. We'll ease ourselves into it. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at Hosted by Jay Hall. Eric is at Eric Wayne's Brain. The show is at Podcast Yanos. And as always, love it if you take the time to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Spotify, or whatever else you listen to the show on. Above and beyond. Eric, anything else to say to the people before we get out of here?
No, it's good to be back. We apologize for any bad information or, you know, wasting your time. Sorry. It'll be better next time.
I mean, you might. I don't know that I do.
I apologize for my lack of mid-season form.
We'll get there, folks. We'll get there. Whatever that looks like. All right. We will catch you guys next week. And eat them up, Tigers. Eat them up.
Goodbye.
This has been a production of the Alpha Dog Podcast Network. Find more shows at alphadogagency.com/podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.